Kind of like that, but when we stand up.
He's like, oh, okay.
Yeah, that was a false alarm.
Oh, here they come.
Yay. Make it saving.
Yay.
Make it saving.
Look who's here. Daniel's here. And Ava. There's Hadley. And just a boy.
Oh, you got my...
It's a puzzle.
Here, put that in.
Perfect. Everybody stand up. Who do we look at? Point. Who do you look at while we're singing?
Ugh, you tired, buddy.
Look at Barry. Stand up. Stand up like he told you.
There we go. Go ahead and scoot down a little kind of good. Since they're all down there, scoot down this way.
Stand up.
Yeah, the other way. Sorry about that. There you go. Ready? Everybody look at me. Say good morning even louder. One, two,
three.
Good morning!
Good job. You ready, Henry? Here we go.
Oh, the B-I-B-L-E. Yes, that's the book for me. Oh, louder. I stand upon the word of God, the B-I-B-L-E.
Bible.
God's word will never fail, never fail, never fail. God's word will never fail. No.
Welcome everybody, and we appreciate another opportunity to be in the Lord's house. We appreciate our children this morning, their enthusiasm while they're singing. It's fun to watch sometimes. I guess all the time, not sometimes. But we look forward to a good day. I want to read a scripture that's in the Sunday school lesson this week. This is one of my favorite scriptures. It's mentioned, I'll read it, but it's 103rd Psalm, the second verse. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. It's mentioned a couple other spots, I believe, about the benefits, but my thought was if we could never sit down and count all the benefits we have trying to live for the Lord and what he does for us, that we'll probably never even know about just all the things the Lord does for us. But then when you can feel his spirit, it doesn't get any better than that. And I just felt like sharing that. I'm sure probably Jay's going to touch on that in the lesson this morning. But we look forward to having a great day in the Lord. And we just pray that everybody could do everything they can and follow him and everything that's asked of us this morning. I'm asked Brother Sean Hendrickson to dismiss us.
Morning. Thankful to be here this morning. As always, we desire your prayers. Reading over this lesson, just in my initial thoughts when I read this lesson was, wow, this verse is beautiful. It ought to be a good lesson if the Lord will help us with it. But we can't do anything without the Lord. I was talking to Dad the other day, and I said, you know, this lesson has been a real big help to me this week. Just studying it, I've learned a lot about it, and I got a lot out of it. Whether or not God will let me share any of that remains to be seen, but it's a real good lesson, and I hope we can get through some of it the way I'd like to. It kind of made me think about things a little bit. I don't want to get ahead of myself, but down later, about halfway through this, it says, "The Lord executeth righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed." And I got to thinking about maybe people overseas or somewhere that aren't free to worship the Lord, and they're oppressed, what we would call oppressed, I guess. Some of them being killed just for claiming to be Christians. And I thought about the people that are in power in the world. And the thought occurred to me that there is no power at all in this world. It's all just an illusion that we make up. We want to believe we have power over something. But God blinked this entire world into existence just with a thought and a spoken word. He created everything. That's the kind of power God's got. Compared to that, what have we got? Nothing. I was telling Blaine yesterday about it. I said, it kind of makes me think of when we was little kids, we had them little green army men, and we'd set them up here and there and have battles, and we'd reach over and flick one of them across the floor, and nope, he's dead. Yeah, that's the kind of power God's got for real. Whatever God wants done is done, whether it be good in our lives or whether it be bad in our lives. God's got control of all of it. And the first verse in this lesson, we'll go ahead and start there. It says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name." God's the only one worth blessing. He blesses me way beyond what I deserve. But I don't deserve to be blessed, but God does. And it says, all that is within me, bless his holy name. There shouldn't be a day go by when I shouldn't think about how good God's been to me. There shouldn't be no time in my life when I shouldn't be considering how good God has been to me. Even if all he's ever done for me was save my soul, I didn't deserve it. And I couldn't have done it without him. I couldn't have done it, period. But he was gracious enough to have mercy on me. And every day that I live, it's because he's being merciful to me, because I don't deserve anything more than dying. But he's good to me, and he gives me what I need. And if we look around at this life and what we've got, there's a lot of things in this life that I myself might say, I need that. But do I really need that, or do I just want that? The things that we really need, God provides for us. And he goes above and beyond that. He's given me a lot of things that I don't really need. I just wanted them. And he's allowed me to have them. But he's worth blessing. I'm not. But yet he blesses me abundantly. It says, verse 2 says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits." And Ryan touched on that opening up. We can't count the benefits. But the number one benefit is when I leave this place, I'm going to a way better country. There's a place in heaven with my name on it already. Because God said he was going to prepare a place. And my name's written in the book. I've got a place designated for me in heaven. I don't know what that'll look like. I don't know what to expect from heaven. I've thought a lot about that. I talked to several preachers. And I said, if Jesus said, I'm in you and you are in me, and I'm in the Father and the Father is in me, well, that means if I've been saved, I'm a part of God. I'm in the Father and the Father's in me. So when I go to heaven, will I just be a part of God and know as I am known? The Bible says we'll know as we are known. Means everything that God knows, we'll know. When we get there, he'll reveal it all to us. That's a pretty big benefit. But even without that, just the life that God has given us is a benefit. The people that God has put in my life have been a benefit to me. Especially the ones in this church. Verse 3 says, "Who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases. I couldn't arrange for forgiveness for everything that I've done wrong, all the bad that I've done. And I ain't never been no mass murderer or, you know, nothing horrible. But just the fact that I was born a human being, a sinner, that deserved nothing, he forgave me. He overlooked all the sin in my life, saved me, and cast that sin as far as the east is from the west and forgot about it. It's gone. I was talking to my son last night. I said, when God cast that sin out of my soul, Jesus moved in, and there ain't been a speck of sin in there since then. And there never will be. That's the part that's going on to heaven. But I wasn't worthy of that. He gave me that just strictly through his grace and mercy. And it says, who healeth all thy diseases. Now, there's a time limit on this life. I'll put it that way. We're all going to go back to the dust. There's going to come a time when we're all going to go to the grave, unless God comes back before then. He has the ability to heal diseases, the natural diseases that afflict this body. I've heard multiple stories about people with cancer or or something like that, and go back to the doctor and they do another scan and it's gone. It just disappeared, no trace. And the doctors are baffled by where'd it go? How did this happen? This just don't happen, but it did. That can only be accredited to God. Took it away from them. So he can heal our physical ailments, but the disease of sin was the worst thing any of us ever had, and he was able to heal that. We couldn't do that with there ain't a doctor in the world that can forgive sin and heal that out of your soul, but God can. Verse 4 says, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies. Redeemeth thy life from destruction. I was just 11 years old when I got saved, but I was already on a path to destruction. Even though I wasn't probably a bad kid, but I was a sinner. And God showed me that. And when the gospel revealed to me that I was lost, I was on a path to destruction. Had I not turned to God and let him have his way, I'd have went down with all the forget God. And that's the worst destruction you could have. Who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies. When he saved my soul, that was all the loving kindness and tender mercy I ever needed. But he's still right there blessing me when I turn to him. When I mess up, I can turn to him and ask forgiveness, and he's always right there to bless me and pick me back up and put me back on the right path. If that ain't tender mercy, I don't know what is. Yeah. Yep. Verse 5 says, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things. We was talking about that verse the other day. I don't think I've probably had very many days in this life that I didn't have something good on the table to eat. Now, there was a time way back, seems like 100 years ago now, when I was running from the Lord, and wasn't doing right, and he let me go hungry a little bit. But he was always there to take care of me. And looking back on it, I know that now. The only reason I got through that time in my life is because God was there to make sure I did. But he's always been there to make sure I've had plenty to eat. But this verse saying, "Who satisfieth thy mouth with good things," I knew there was more to it than just food. And I think that part of it is when I get up here to stand before everybody, a lot of times I struggle with what to say or how to say it. But if I got my heart right and I let God have his way, he'll come through, and the things that come out of my mouth satisfies me. There was a place somewhere, I don't know exactly where it is, but in the New Testament, somebody said that not that which goes into the mouth defileth a man, but that which come out of the mouth defileth a man. If we're talking about godly things, we're not defiling ourselves. But if we're talking about things we shouldn't be talking about, or people that we shouldn't be talking about, or saying things we shouldn't say, that's way worse than anything foreign we could eat, probably. Because God will satisfy us with what we need. And that's whatever goes into the mouth and whatever comes out. It says, "So that thy youth is renewed like the eagles." I've heard people say that when the meeting's going real good and there's a real high spirit and just enjoying the Lord, I've heard people say, "Boy, I could have done that all day." Then I've heard other people say, "We couldn't do that all day because we wouldn't be able, we'd forget to eat and we wouldn't sleep." But when we do get in the Spirit, there's a youthfulness about us. We don't feel the pain of this. You know, there's times I'm not as old as some of these fellas sitting around here, but there's times I get ready to kneel down here and pray, and my knees will pop a little bit, and my back will hurt a little bit, and can't hardly get up. But when I'm in the Spirit and God says, "Come up here and pray with somebody that's trying to get saved," I don't notice those things. That all just goes away for a little while. You know, we retain our youth in what God gives us. I was reading up on eagles because I noticed that there's several places where God refers to eagles, and a bald eagle molts all of its feathers once a year and gets all new feathers, so it's like a young bird again. It's able to fly like it was when it was young. And the thing about it is, they don't lose all their feathers all at the same time. They lose just enough to replenish their feathers without losing the ability to fly and hunt and get their food. God gives them what they need as they need it, just like he does with us. So verse 6 says, "The Lord executeth righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed." And we touched on that at the beginning. I don't consider myself to be oppressed. Now, there's some people probably in the same position that I'm in, minus having the Lord in their life, I'll say it that way. People that I work with or you know, people that I know that have jobs similar to mine or whatever, that would consider themselves oppressed because they feel like they're being held back from greater things because their boss at work won't give them a promotion or this or that. I don't feel like I'm oppressed. I feel like I've got life pretty good. But there's other people in this world that don't have anything and can't get anything because the people that are in control don't want them to have anything. It's been exposed for years that there's places overseas in different countries that have little 10, 12-year-old kids working in factories, making tennis shoes and stuff that we buy all the time, and we just don't know that that's how they get made. That's oppressed. But God knows what's going on, and he's able to free us from that if we'll just follow after him and trust in him. God's righteousness is beyond anything we could ever imagine. I can't imagine. I talked to a guy I used to work with, and he was from Iraq, and he was a Muslim by faith, but he didn't agree with what they were doing in that country. The leadership, the religious leadership, I'll say it that way. And when the United States went in there and we had Desert Storm, he come out to the United States troops and volunteered to be an informant. So he helped our troops over there in Iraq accomplish a lot of things. So when our government got ready to pull all of our troops out, there was a few of them people like that, and they said, if you leave us here, we're going to die. They'll kill us for what we've done. So the United States brought those guys over here and put them through classes and gave them citizenship. And I talked to this guy, and the level of oppression in those kind of places is just unbelievable. The way they treat people and the way they hold people back. But God brought this fella out of there. Now, me and him sat at work many times and talked about religion and God and how we believed. And Lord willing, hopefully I said something to him that made an impact in his life, but I don't know. I don't know anything about that. But if God's righteousness had anything to do with it, he probably thought about it for a while. Verse 7 said, He made known his ways unto Moses, his acts unto the children of Israel. The story of Moses has always been a little bit odd to me. In the simple fact that Moses went up on the mountain and spoke to God. And God spoke to Moses. And when they were done speaking, then Moses would come back down off the mountain and speak to the people and tell them what God said. I've never had to go ask somebody else what God wanted from me. God's always talked to me, let me know what he wanted from me. But at the same time, I can kind of understand it, because we've got people that we call preachers that'll stand up here and tell the church what God said. So he made his ways known unto Moses. I think probably Moses knew a little bit about God's ways from his youth, that would be my guess. But he sure knew a lot about God's ways when he stood in front of that burning bush. And then he learned more about it when he was up on the mountain getting the Ten Commandments. But anyhow, his acts unto the children of Israel. The children of Israel turned their backs on God, seemed like every time they had a chance. Every time something come along that turned their fancy, they was doing something they ought not have been doing. And God punished them for it. But there was times when God was going to kill them all. And because of one or two people, he had mercy on them. And he held back his wrath and he let it go. When they made the golden calf, I probably shouldn't have started that one because I ain't sure if I'm 100% correct on the timeline, but I believe it was when they made the golden calf and Moses come down and found out what was going on and ask who's with me, and the Levite, tribe of Levi, stepped up and said, we're with you, we don't believe in that. And he told him, go in there and kill all the rest of them. The children of Israel were punished harshly for some of the things they did, but they was forgiven a lot more than they was punished, I think. But verse 8 said, the Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and plenteous in mercy. I was just talking about the children of Israel being God having mercy on them way more than he punished them. I could say that about me. I haven't always done what God wanted me to do. I've had idols up in front of me from time to time. A lot of people don't consider the fact that anything you put before God is an idol. If it's more important than God, it's no different than the children of Israel building a golden calf and worshiping that. If I stay home from church on Sunday afternoon or Sunday morning because I got a football game I want to watch, that football game has become my golden calf. But God has always been merciful, and he's forgiven me way more than he's punished me for things that I deserve to be punished for. Verse 9 says, he will not always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever. He don't stay mad at us, especially if we repent. I could just about guarantee you I've done some of the dumbest things anybody's ever done against the Lord. I was talking to my son last night, and he said, he made the comment that sometimes when he does something, it's almost like he can hear God telling him, don't do that, that's not right. But then he'll go ahead and do it anyway, even though he knew it was wrong. I said, we all do that. Every time I've been about to do something that I shouldn't do, I know I get that feeling in my soul. God saying, don't do that. You know you ain't supposed to do that. But I do it anyway. But if I repent for it, God's anger is no more. He'll forgive me and forget it. Verse 10 says, he hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. If what God done for me was based on how good I was, I'd have nothing. I'd have absolutely nothing. Matter of fact, I probably wouldn't even be here. I'd probably be dead and gone because I don't deserve to live. The way that I've treated God in my life, I don't deserve anything. But God has been merciful on me. He's been gracious with me. He's allowed me some good things in my life. And I'm not talking about just in church. The blessings that he's put in my life that are natural are beyond my comprehension. Somebody said Wednesday night, I think it was, said there's blessings in my life that I'll never know about till I get to heaven. We was talking talking to Dad one time, and he said, there's probably times when you're driving down the road and you look down at the speedometer and you're only doing 45 in a 55, and you, well, what am I doing going that slow? And then you speed up and you get on down the road and there's a wreck. Just happened. If you'd have been going the speed limit, you might have been involved in that. We don't know. But that's some of the things that God blesses us in that we never even know about. He's able to move things out of our way without us having a clue. But if he dealt with us for our sins and our iniquities, we wouldn't have that. We wouldn't have anything. It says, for as heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. A lot of people look at that last part. It says, to them that fear him. Now, I'm not an expert on Jewish language or Greek language or whatever this was translated out of, but I would just about bet that whatever word they translated to fear right there probably could have also been translated as respect. Could also been translated as love. Because just like when I was a little boy, I feared that man right there. Not because I thought he would hurt me, not because I thought he was scary, but because I knew he had control. And I wanted to make him happy. If we love the Lord and we fear the Lord, it's because not because we think he's scary or because we think he's going to hurt us. It's because we know he's got control of everything. He can do whatever he wants to in our life. He can move us like we move a chess piece on a board. Fear is not a bad thing when it comes to the Lord. Verse 12 says, as far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. When I was 11 years old and I got saved, I hit on this a little bit ago. God took them sins out of my life and moved them as far as the east is from the west, and they're forgotten. And the hard thing for people to comprehend is he didn't just do that for the sins from birth to 11 years old. He did that for my sins from birth to death. If I repent, he moves that sin as far as the east is from the west, and it is forgotten. God don't hold a grudge. If somebody does something to me or, you know, does something to one of my kids or my wife, and then they come back and apologize, I might tell them, it's okay, I forgive you, but I won't forget it. I'll remember what they did, because that's just our human nature. We might not even hold it against them, but we won't forget it. God will pass that, take that sin and cast it off and forget it. It didn't happen, just like it didn't happen. That's how much mercy God has for us. Yes. But it says, like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. Well, I was just talking about, you know, me fearing the Lord like I feared my dad when I was a little kid. Just like my dad had mercy on me. The word is pitieth here. But I know, because I've got kids, anybody that's a dad wants their kids to have better than what they had. You want your kids to grow up to be bigger and stronger than you are. You want your kids to have good lives. How much more does God want for us? And the difference is, I've always wanted my kids to have better cars and better clothes and better houses and, you know, things like that. God wants us to have better blessings, whether it be natural or heavenly. That's what God wants for us. He wants good things. If we've been saved, we all got the best that we can get. But God wants to take care of us in the meantime, if we'll let him. And verse 14 says, "For he knoweth our frame, he remembereth that we are dust. He made us out of the dust of the earth and breathed life into us. He knows what we're made out of and how we're made and how we're put together. He knows me better than I know myself. So when I fail, even after he just told me, don't go there, and I do it anyway, and then I turn around and go, man, I shouldn't have done that, and I get on my knees and I apologize, he already knew what was going to happen. And he knows why I did it, because he knows me. He knows that I'm worthless and weak. From the dust we are, and to the dust we shall return. In the meantime, the best we can do is hold as close to God as we can and try to do what he tells us, try to do what he gives us. Anybody got anything? Yeah, Paul said, I die daily. That's because every day we have to sacrifice this man to do what God wants us to do. I've got to repent and then get this guy out of the way so I can follow the Lord every day. Bible says, choose this day whom you will serve. When I wake up every morning, I've got a decision I've got to make. And the reason I've got to make that decision is because when I wake up every day, the devil's right there at the side of the bed getting ready to start some trouble. And if I follow after him, it won't be long. I'll be way away from God and in some deep trouble. So, anybody else got anything? If not, we'll say thank you for your prayers.